We're continuing our series today called The Better Life, and if you didn't hear last week's message, I just encourage you to go back and listen to Believe Again. And it's really just a series on hope, really. And I heard Lisa Harper say this past week, you know, in this long season, she said, I think some of us unwittingly have crossed the arms of our heart. And I think sometimes we're almost hesitant to hope anymore. And so it's my prayer that in this series, it will help all of us uncross our arms and think and look for what God is calling us to, the better life. Because I think some of us aren't even aware of the fact that disappointment and discouragement and loss and the difficulty of this last year and a half, it has effectively just kind of pulled us away from the shore of hope. And I think some of us are at the point of going, you know what? I'd rather not hope than be hurt again. You know, I can't turn the news on one more time. You know, Monty, I'll sing the songs. I'll raise one hand, but I'm just going to have to step back a little bit because I'm just too disappointed or discouraged, hurt. Well, listen, God is calling us to a better life. To believe again, and today we're going to talk about to dream again. To believe again in the goodness of God, even when life is anything but. To have a firm belief that our God really is a good God. That ultimately, regardless what we can currently see, everything will be for our good and for His glory, ultimately. So it's my prayer today that the Holy Spirit just allows some of us to uncross our arms and to begin to live the better life, to believe again, to dream again. Because I believe not only is it for the world, that is more desperate for hope than I think I've ever seen in my life, but it's also for us. I think we've gotten to a point where many of us have become deluded in thinking about God and, you know, is all about information, right? Gathering information. And we think that sometimes that is the same as intimacy with God. And it's such a poor substitute. And so I really believe, as she was saying, that it's time for us to uncross our arms and reach out again and, you know, and go, you know, even though I'm scared to death, God, you've got to help me in my answer, in my unbelief. My questioning, God, you know, I still believe you're the answer to every prayer. I still believe that you will reframe my heart and you'll help me to believe again. So let me just begin this message this morning with prayer. Can I just pray for you? Let's pray together. Jesus, I pray in the power of your name and because of the blood that you shed on our behalf on the cross. Jesus, because you said we were worth it, Lord Jesus, I pray that any kind of veil that's on our eyes or anything that's covering our ears or our heart that's keeping us, God, from uncrossing our arms and hoping again and believing again and dreaming again, that right now, God, through the power and the authority of your Holy Spirit and this book called the Bible, that you would begin to change us, that you would help us to hope again, that you would remind us that in such a tangible way this morning that we will be a little bit undone and maybe, God, we'd have our eyes open a little wider to the truth of just how much you love us. And it would go deep into our bones, Father, and we'd be reminded again that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. that He's got me, that He's got this. And everything ultimately will be for Your glory. And so, God, I just pray that You help us to take the next step with arms open wide. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This series, our theme verse for it is John 10:10, and it's a very familiar passage, and I love it. I love it in the Message paraphrase. It says this right here. It says, a thief is only there to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I came so that they can have real life and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. And that's what we're looking for, and God is calling us to this better life. Last week, we said that there are three habits to the better life so that we can really begin to believe again. You remember what they were? The three habits that, you know, I encourage us to begin to incorporate into our life so that we can experience a better life, so that we can really have the courage to believe again. Constant communication with God, just continuing praying with Him, instant obedience to God when He tells us to do something, and then a daily desperation for God, that we are just hungering after God every day. That if we begin to have those three habits in our life, in our relationship with God, that we would live this better life, that we can believe again. That the dreams that we've had, or maybe the goals that are on the inside of us that maybe have died or maybe have just been pushed back because of the season that we're living in, that He would help us to begin to dream again. He would call those back to life. One of my favorite passages is Revelations 1:18. It's where Jesus says, I am He who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I love how He just kind of puts His own amen in there. And He says, I have the keys of Hades and of death. And here's the deal, and we've been saying it over the last several weeks, the same power that raised Christ from the dead can happen in you, is available to you. The same power, the same energy that it took to get Jesus out of the grave can happen in you, can confront every death situation in you. And it's not just talking about physical death. I think He wants to take every death experience in your life and resurrect it. Many people, I think, are alive on the outside, but inside there's this dead happening. We're alive on the outside, but inside there's this process of dying emotionally maybe and relationally and financially and any other way, but... And my prayer is that through this series, that you and I will open our heart and let God come in and breathe life back into those dead and dying places in our life. That God holds the key to your death experience. And He is the only thing that can bring life back into you. You can't do it in your own strength. Only He holds the key to a better life. And so if you're feeling like it's over, it's not over. It's not over. He's calling us to dream again. To dream again. As I've studied and looked at dreams, I'm a dreamer, and so I just love to dream about things. I love to study that. There's really a couple categories of dreams. There's our head dreams, like the dreams we have at night. Anybody big dreamers at night? You dream all the time at night. Some people don't dream at all. It's just kind of crazy to me, But you ever had that dream where you feel like you're falling, right? And you're just kind of falling and you see the ground coming before you, and right before you hit the ground, you wake up. Ever had that dream? Or maybe if you have opportunities like me to speak in front of people and share things, maybe you've had the dream of getting up and speaking and then realizing that you're in your boxers. I don't know if you ever had that dream. It's kind of like a nightmare, right? That's head dreams. But we also have heart dreams. Dreams that we really believe where we can make a difference. That you really can be a great husband or a great wife or a great dad and a great mom. That you can have the greatest family on the earth. That we can have a great job. That these goals and dreams that are on the inside of us. It's the way we expect life to be, right? And I really believe that God is He desperately wants to breathe life into your dreams. I've told you many times, I kind of carry Rick Warren's dream acrostic around with me, you know, to help me to continue to pursue God's dreams in my life. And if I'm going to do that, I have to, first of all, dedicate my life to God. I don't have these on the screen because I've given them to you 100 times, but I got to dedicate my life to God if I'm going to fulfill the dreams He has in my life, right? Romans 12, 1 and 2 kind of tells us that. It says that, you know, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be changed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His dream for you, His good and pleasing and perfect will. You have to begin by dedicating your life to God. And then I have to reserve time alone with my God. You know, I really do have to spend time, you know, in constant communication with Him, praying unceasingly, you know, with Him, having conversation with Him, listening to Him. I have to reserve that time alone with Him. And then I have to evaluate my abilities, right? How He has shaped me, my spiritual gifts, my passions, my abilities, my personality, my Enneagram, right? I have to look at that and understand how He's put me together so I can live out this dream that He's called me to. And then I have to associate with other godly dreamers. That's why small groups are so important, because I need to get around other people, other men, other women that are dreaming God dreams, that are seeking His dream for their lives, and begin to associate with other godly dreamers. Again, rock groups are so important, and we're kicking them off October the 3rd, and there's a place outside as you go. If you want to sign up and say, yes, I want to be in a rock group, just sign up there on that list and make sure that, you know, on October 3rd, we'll begin to place you in groups that are available. I need to associate with other godly dreamers so that I can come alongside God and make my dream, His dream, happen in my life. I have to begin to dream again. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21 says, God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. And He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, His Spirit deeply and gently within us. You see, God's dream for us is greater than you could ever imagine for yourself. I remember on my 18th birthday, I wanted a new stereo for my car, right? So I was asking for this new stereo to go, you know, I was dreaming about this new stereo in my car, you know, and so it got to my birthday party, you know, time, and, you know, I didn't have a box that was big enough for a stereo, and I'm going, what's going on, right? Always get what's going on? And all I had was this one little box, and I opened up the box, and there were keys in it, and I'm going, no, where are these keys? You know what I mean? And they said, well, come on outside, and I walk outside, and not only did I get a new stereo, I got a new car. Right? That had this unbelievable stereo system in it. And I think about that. I think many times, you know, we are dreaming about a stereo. And He, in His heart, He's dreaming about a car. Every person in here, God has a dream for you, a plan, a destiny for you, no matter what season of life that you might be in. And some of you are already living it while others are trying to discover it, you know, what it is. And others of you have given up on it and you need to dream again. And He wants to deposit something great in you. Something great in you. And the challenge is our verse, John 10:10. It says, we have an enemy in this world. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That we really have to understand that we live on a battlefield, that we're stamped with the image of God and targeted by the enemy who uses our own desire sometimes against us. Our enemy hates God, and he wants to destroy everything he can that bears his name and bears his image. So we have to be aware of that, that the enemy wants to kill your dreams. He wants to bury the purpose God has placed inside of you. He wants to steal your sense of self-worth and confidence and hope. He wants to destroy your marriage and erode your relationship with your kids. He wants to ruin your good reputation and slander the name of Christ in the process. And I don't want us to get paranoid about that, right? Because, Jesus says, but I come to give you life, a better life, a life that is full and abundant. John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in me than he who is in the world, right? So don't get fearful of that. Don't get paranoid about that. Begin to live the better life. But honestly, maybe that's where some of you are, right? Maybe God has deposited a dream inside of you of being something or doing something or, whatever, and the enemy has come along and stolen it from you. He's killed that dream or is trying to destroy that part that God has put inside of you. Life is not working out how you plan, and you believe that it's never going to happen and that it's over. Well, this morning, I want to walk you through a story in the Bible that I think will help us to dream again. So we're going to travel from Genesis 15 all the way through Genesis 22. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to Genesis 15. Start there with verse 1, and then we'll just kind of travel through the life of Abraham and Sarah and just allow God to teach us how to really dream again. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 says this. It says, after this, the word of God, of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He says, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so as a servant in my household will be my heir. And Abram's dreaming about a stereo right here, I think. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to them, so shall your offspring be. God's revealing this covenant that he's going to have with Abraham. And even in 17:4, we'll get there eventually, but Genesis 17:4 says, as for me, this is my covenant with you, Abraham. You will be the father of many nations. And this is the moment that God has dropped his dream into Abram's heart, a dream so much bigger than Abram's dream. I mean, Abram dreams to father a son, but God's dream for him was that he would be a father of nations. God's dream so much bigger. And I just want to, as we walk through this story, I want to share with you some what I call dream busters. Things that if we're not careful will begin to bust or kill the dreams that God has placed inside of us. And the first one is expectations. We'll tend to have unfulfilled expectations. Look in Genesis 16, verses 1 and 2. It says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. And she knew the dream. She knew the dream. But she had an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. So she said to Abram, the Lord has kept me from having children. And I think sometimes we get in a place where our dream is just not happening. And we find ourselves in a place where we're hurting or where we're broken or empty and maybe hopeless. And it's very challenging to be expecting one thing and then get something else altogether. You ever been there? She goes on to say, go sleep with my maidservant. And then let's look at this. It says, perhaps I can build a family through her. And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. And I want to give you a danger to each of these dream busters. And here's the danger when it comes to us. If we find ourselves in these unfulfilled expectations, the danger is that we begin to try to fix it ourselves. Ishmael is the son of Hagar. Really, if you read the story, and I encourage you to go and read the whole story, Ishmael turns out to be a counterfeit dream to the dream God had placed in Abraham. 13 years later, God comes back to Abraham, and he's 99 years old, right? And we see the second dream buster in this passage, and that is doubt, unrelentless doubt. Genesis 17:17, God has come to him and reaffirmed the covenant to Abram and actually begins to change his name and changes Sarah's name, changes Abram to Abraham and Sarai to Sarah. and said, this is my covenant with you. And he kind of reaffirms that. You're going to be the father of many nations. Sarah's going to have a child. You know, that's my promise to you. And in verse 17, Abraham just fell face down and he laughed. And he said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? What? Really? God, are you kidding me? And Abraham is having this internal dialogue going on. Listen, Satan would love nothing more than to get into your mind and breed doubt into you. He is the father of lies. And here are some of those lies that begin to breed doubt if you're not careful. First one is, you're a failure. You're a failure. And, you know, I won't go into my story, but I can just go through seasons of my life and see moments and times of failure in my life. And Satan goes back and he grabs those in my life and he just keeps bringing them back up and bringing them back up to where I get to that place and where I just sometimes feel like a failure. And I begin to doubt God's dream for my life. Or, you know, another one, you don't have what it takes, or you'll never amount to anything, or you don't know enough. Right? It's the lies of the enemy. And I think the reason he does it is because he knows that the opposite of doubt is faith. He knows that if he can get in our minds and bring doubt, that he can kill God's dream in us. James 1:6 says, but when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. You ever felt that way? Just blown and tossed by the wind of your doubts? And here's the danger. Here's the danger. It's when we begin to believe the lies of the enemy. When we begin to believe those doubts is when we have to be careful. The third dream buster is circumstances. Circumstances that just really seem unchangeable. Look at Genesis 18, verse 11. It says, Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years. I kind of like that better. I'm going to start saying that. I am well advanced in years. You like that? I like that. And well advanced in years. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. You see, this is when we look around and the circumstances of our lives are just not adding up. There's no way this dream is ever going to happen. Just the natural circumstances will never let my dream come true. There's just not enough time. We owe too much. So many obstacles. You know, there's no way that dream can happen. My family is too dysfunctional. My marriage is hopeless. I've just lost the love of my life. The danger is that in these circumstances that seem to be unchangeable, we come to a place and we just give up. And maybe that's where you are. Nothing's working out, right? You know, Abraham had every excuse to stop believing, to stop dreaming, and to give up. And some of you are right there. God's placed a dream in your heart, but right now you are... expectations have been dashed. Your doubt is overwhelming you. Your circumstances certainly seem to be unchangeable. And you feel hopeless. And your dreams seem dead. Listen, if that's where you are, if you thought you could be a great dad or a mom or a husband or a wife, you thought your family would look different. You thought you would have a job that could provide, you thought that you were going to be together forever. What do you do? How do you respond? In that heartache, what do you do? What I believe you need to do is to take a step of faith and begin to dream again. Begin to dream again. That you don't allow these dream busters to take, steal, kill, and destroy what God has placed in you. And even if you can't understand what that's going to look like going forward because of what's happened in your life or what's going on in your relationships, just take a step of faith and trust God and begin to dream again. Let me give you some statements about dreaming that come from this passage, this story. First one is this: dream again, even if it takes a long time. Even if it takes a long time. And then right out there to the side of that, trust His process. Genesis 21, verse 5 says, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. It took over 25 years from when God spoke the dream into Abraham's heart until it was fulfilled in his life. We have to trust His process. We have to keep dreaming. Sometimes you're just around the corner, right? Just around the corner from what God is getting ready to do in your life. Trust the process. That God's process is working, that He never wastes one moment in developing and fulfilling His dream in your life. Keep dreaming, even if it takes a long time. Because His timing is perfect. Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his step. Number two, dream again, even if it sounds crazy. And then right out to the side, trust His purpose. Look at verse 2 in chapter 22. It says, then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. You want me to do what? I mean, in order for Abraham to pick up God's dream for his life, he had to lay down his dream. God was looking at Abraham's heart to see if he was willing to lay his dream down in order to live out God's dream. God wants to breathe life into our dreams. And it might sound ridiculous, but you must trust His purpose. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Next, dream again, even if you don't think you can. Trust His promise. But Monty, you don't know my situation. It will never work. You know, it just won't work now. And you're right. It will never work in your own strength. You need Him. Chapter 22, verse 15 says, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that, and you can underline this, circle it, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, you can underline this, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Because you have, He will. Because you have, He will. We have to come to that point and surrender everything to Him. Because you have been willing to dream again, because you have stepped out in faith, because you have been obedient, right? Because you have this desperate hunger for Him, because you have, God says, I will. There's a direct connection between our faith and His action. Because you have, He will. It's at that obedient moment that God can breathe life back into you, at that moment of surrender. Matthew 19, 26 says, Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. With God. With God it is possible to be the dad that God's called you to be, the mom, to be the husband, the wife. With God, it's possible to have the family that you dreamed of having. With God, it's possible to overcome the heartache and the loss. With God, dream again, dream again. John 1:14 in the Message says this: the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. I love that. That's God's dream for us, to be Jesus in our neighborhood. That's God's dream for me and you. It's to love. It's to love Him and to love others, to love with the shape that He has given you. That's the dream. And I so don't want to miss the dream. I sometimes get so hung up on many things in life, worrying about that, what I will never do or what I will never achieve or what I will never have. And if I'm not careful, I will miss His dream for my life. I want to love my wife and care for my kids and give life to my friends. I want to do God's work, the work that God's made me to do. I want to love God and the world He made. I want to do my part to help it flourish for my spiritual maturity. As I begin to understand, my spiritual maturity is not measured by following rules. The dream God has placed in me and in you is measured by our capacity to love. When we live in love, we flourish. That's the dream. So my challenge, my encouragement, my prayer for us is that we'll dream again. Will you dream again and allow God to breathe life back into it? Even if it takes a long time, even if it sounds crazy, even if you don't think you can, trust His process. Trust His purpose. Trust His promise. And allow His dream to flourish in you and begin to live the better life. Pray with me, please. Father, in this moment right here, God, I just pray that Your Spirit would speak into our hearts, and God, that You would give us the courage to respond to Your call to each one of us, God. Maybe for some of you here this morning, that call, that dream He has for you is to be in a forever relationship with Him. And maybe right now you believe in God, in your head and in your knowledge, but you've never experienced that intimacy with Him and inviting Him in to be your Lord and be your Savior. And that's His dream for you, to know Him in that very intimate and personal way. So right now, right where you are, will you just surrender to Him? Just say, God, come in. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Begin to change me. Fulfill Your dream in my life. For most of you in here, you have that personal relationship. But because of the circumstances of life, because of what you are living in and through, you got to that place where you've just kind of given up. And maybe you found yourself drifted and moved away from a relationship with God. And it's so difficult for you even right now to believe again, let alone dream again. Will you right now trust in His promises? Will you surrender again to Him? Recommit every part of your life back to Him? Allow Him to fill you up with His Holy Spirit, begin to fan back into life the dreams that He has for you. to share His love, to be Jesus with hand, you know, to be Jesus' hands and feet, to do the work that He's already prepared in advance for you to do. And God, some of us in here, the circumstances of life have just beat us up so bad, Father, and that we're just so discouraged, God, that it has breeded, you know, God, Satan has come and begin to breed doubt into our lives, Father. And we just need You, Your presence, Your power in us again. God, help us to hold on to You, even in these moments of loss, heartbreak. God, help us to hold on to You and to trust You. God, do not allow Satan to have any place in our lives. God, may we begin to dream and to believe in You again in such a way, Father, that we can use the circumstances of our life to share Your love with others. Help us to be a people with this huge capacity, God, to love You and to love others, to live the better life, a life that is full and abundant, a life with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.